You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant. We have John, our producer, on site. We have Sean, our producer, back in the studio. And we are live at the Wildcat Golf Club. Gorgeous day to come out and play some golf. I absolutely love it here. Love the view, love the owner, love the food, love the bar. So make sure you make your way out here. The Texans, not their best yesterday. They held on for a while. The Broncos win 16-9 despite some of the worst play calling, despite the Broncos crowd literally chanting the play clock to help Nathaniel Hackett. There you go. And the Texans fall 16-9 in the Mile High City. Paul, you watched. You obviously are not a Russell Wilson fan, but what were your initial impressions of the game?
I mean, you should have won it. And I'm not here to say, hey, this is supposed to be a contender this year.
Right.
It's just you played two bums in week one and two. That Colts team is not good. They're not. They just got shut out 24-0 by the Jaguars.
Yeah, okay, no need to rub it in.
This Broncos team is not good, and they're run by a head coach that has no idea what he's doing out there. I mean, a delay a game to take yourself out of field goal range when you have all those issues with delays of game the week before. As you mentioned, you have a crowd that sarcastically starts chanting the play clock down. And you had a 9-6 lead in this game. Your offense just has zero life, zero juice, even with Damian Pierce running the football. And it all comes back to Davis Mills. And if you believe in Davis Mills, I just want to know why. I don't get it.
Yeah, call in our show, please, actually, if you believe in Davis Mills. 713-780-3776. Look, we've seen enough of him. He had half a season last year. He's had two games this year. I think we know he's probably not the
answer. Not the guy, right.
But the offense as a whole not doing its job. Here's head coach Lovie Smith on the struggles that the offense had throughout the day.
Offensively, never really got things going. We're able to, to get Damon involved, more involved this week. But passing game-wise, there were plays that we left out on the football field.
Definitely the Brandon Cooks touchdown reception that went right through Cooks' hands. I mean, that's the difference in the game, too, ultimately.
Oh, that could win you the game.
Yeah, and then instead you have to settle for a field goal. At least you're hitting your field goals. And at least Kyme Fairbairn's getting the opportunity to kick field goals,
yeah,
which was an issue.
Yeah, 3-6-9, there you go.
That I had in week one. I don't really know what to point at and say this could theoretically get better. I mean, there have been some people that are suggesting, hey, maybe it's Lovie Smith, the defensive-minded head coach, who is trying to make sure that Mills just manages the game, or maybe it's Pep Hamilton. But if you are a quarterback of consequence in this league, you're not scared to throw the football into dicey spots. And outside of maybe two throws that he had towards the end of the game, I think it was at the beginning of that last drive, he was just so risk-averse. Good quarterbacks aren't risk-averse. In Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky, that was a huge issue for him. In Tennessee, Marcus Mariota, that was a huge issue for him. And both of those guys have some talent. And I'm not saying Mills isn't talented. I'm saying that the guy doesn't have the confidence in himself to throw the football downfield. And then when he gets hit, his confidence also
the momentum
wavers.
Is completely gone.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett, by the way, as a head coach, two really bad performances. Why the Broncos gave him the game ball, I will never understand.
Ironically.
He was booed. And after the game, Nathaniel Hackett said, yeah, not going to lie, you probably should boo me.
And then the crowd obviously frustrated at times, but can you just give me a sense of overall?
I don't blame him. I mean, heck. I mean, I was booing myself.
Heck.
I mean, I was getting very frustrated. I mean, get down to the red zone two times. Don't get another touchdown, which is unbelievably frustrating. I don't think we've scored in there yet. And that's something that all of our guys got to step it up, whether we run the ball more, whatever we're doing, we just got to execute at a higher level.
Heck.
Heck.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yes. He seems like a very nice guy. I will give him that.
Yeah!
But that is a very underwhelming hire. And that's who you lost to. That's who you were outfoxed by, if you will. Nathaniel Play Clock Hackett.
Play Clock. Yeah, the
yes.
L in there is very important. We have not gotten an update on Justin Britt yet. I'm interested to see if during Texans' availability today we'll get that on Lovie Smith. All signs seem to indicate that the Texan center may soon become the former Texan center and possibly retire. That is not a report. I haven't heard it for sure. But
that was my speculation.
You're talking about 3 weeks in a row, or excuse me, 3 days in a row last week where he didn't play due to personal reasons. And then Lovie Smith said, I'll have an update on him soon. I think that was Thursday or Friday. So we shall see.
You know, if we're looking for any silver linings out of this one, at the very least, Scott Questenberry stepping in for Justin Britt was not a massive disaster. I thought it would
better
be tough.
Better communication.
You have, in Denver, I think one of the best crowds that there is. I know Granato was at the game, and he was talking about it. The Broncos have very good fans. And in that game, there were moments where you would think, okay, Mills is going to have some issues at the line of scrimmage and the communication of the offensive linemen. That's going to be a problem. But, you know, they did their job when it came to running the football as well. I thought the offensive line did well in that capacity. The problem was when they had to throw, Mills is just not confident making a lot of throws. And, you know, Titus Howard on the right tackle spot, another former first-round pick, wasn't his best game either. He looked pretty bad.
All right. Week two is a time where you can start drawing some conclusions. Now, not a whole lot, but week one, you never know, there's a fluke every now and then. Week two is where I think you can start seeing what you know, confessions on maybe what you were right about, what you were wrong about. I want to give you some of my confessions, and I want you to do the same. Week two confessions. I was down on Tua. I did not believe in Tua. I didn't think he was going to look good. I didn't think he was clutch. I didn't think the deep ball was still going to be there. I didn't think that the short passes were going to be as crisp as they used to be. And look, he's got that new offensive coordinator in Frank Smith. He has Mike McDaniel, who's drawing up the plays, and he looks good. I was wrong about Tua.
6 touchdown passes in yesterday's victory. I mean, who would have thought that would come? And the numbers that he put up with it, too. Now, I think he has a lot of help in having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It's essentially a cheat code to have two guys that fast, let
By
alone
the way,
just Tyreek.
Do you want to hear from Tyreek Hill? This is Tyreek Hill to Kimberly
Tyreek.
Martin on Tua's performance.
You ain't even got to ask me no question on that. For all the haters out there, man, who saying Tua can't do this, can't be that, you know, I really hope you soon jump on this bandwagon, man, because not only is Coach McDaniels going to need a wheelbarrow, he also going to need a tour, going to need a wheelbarrow after the season. To tote his money, his boatload of money, and also his Coco Hornets.
I'll give him this. I mean, I do find myself from time to time thinking, yeah, maybe I'd like to listen to his podcast. He also called Tua the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. So everything he says about Tua, I'm going to take with a grain of salt. He's obviously biased, but I mean, that was a really impressive performance. They look dead in the water. And because they have those guys who are so damn fast, they're able to erase that lead in a heartbeat. So, I mean, they I think, right now, coming out of week two, are probably the surprise of the NFL season to this point.
Confession number two, I was high on the Raiders.
Yeah, I was too.
High on the Raiders. And we have not
I don't
seen
know why I was. I feel like a total idiot for that. Like,
I know,
it's Derek Carr. What was I thinking?
Well, okay, but they hyped up he and Davante Adams. I didn't know until he went there that they had trained together every off season. Not only were they college, you know, roommates and friends, I thought that connection may be good, and I fell into thinking the Chiefs weren't going to be the Chiefs. Confession number three, y'all already know this is coming.
What?
I thought the Colts were a lock for the AFC South.
I mean, there's still plenty
now,
of season left.
I never.
And that tie's going to help.
I was never on board with them being one of the Super Bowl sleepers, okay? And you can back me up. I never said they're a sleeper. No, I said the Raiders were. But I never said the Colts were a Super Bowl sleeper, but I thought that they were a lock for the AFC South. Do you have any confessions week two that you would like to confess?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same page as you when it comes to that with the Raiders. I mean, but I'm just so mad at myself for, like, thinking to, hey, this team is going to figure it out finally with Josh McDaniels involved too. Like, McDaniels doesn't have the best track record away from Bill Belichick. I was too high on the Bengals. You know, my gut was kind of telling me this offseason, there's too many people that are sleeping on Cincinnati. But if you go back into that playoff run where their defense is playing way better than you would have expected and they're winning games where they're getting sacked 10 times, I guess I should have seen through it. And the other thing is, too, man, they made those renovations on the offensive line. What have we actually seen, though, that's different, that's better with all the investment they made. I mean, give the Cowboys a ton of credit, but you're getting sacked six times and you added all these pieces during the offseason. Micah Parsons is a great player, but it's not like Parsons was the only one that was right. getting after Burrow. That has been, I think, the biggest surprise to me. I thought for sure Cincy would be a lot more respectable out of the gate.
So what happens in their division? Steelers, Browns,
the Steelers look awful.
Ravens.
I'm watching that game. Like, I don't feel better about New England. I feel worse about Pittsburgh. Like, Trubisky is the most deadweight quarterback that there is, and they have Kenny Pickett, but they're not going to put Kenny Pickett in anytime soon, it sounds like. It seems that Mike Tomlin just wants to roll with Trubisky all year long. You know, maybe that changes. Coaches are notorious for just lying to us when we ask them pointed questions. But Trubisky is, like Mills, someone who does not want to throw the football down the field. And when you have a guy that is nervous to put the ball in tough spots, what is ultimately going to happen?
Right.
Where are you going to go?
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our Southside segment. Let's dig more into the AFC South, where things stand, and a preview of the Titans-Bills tonight. That's coming up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Time to take a ride around the South Side of the AFC with Vanessa and Gallant.
There we go. We love it. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. This is our South Side segment as we take a look around the AFC South, predicted to be one of the worst, if not the worst, divisions in the NFL. My hot take coming into the season was that it would actually be entertaining. That is one. I just gave my confession, so I'll give myself this. I do think the competition for AFC South champion will be entertaining. The Jags currently in first place at 1-1. The Texans and the Colts 0-1-1 after their first week tie, and then the Titans are 0-1. The Titans do take on the Buffalo Bills tonight on a little Monday Night Football action.
You should be in first place.
It's lit.
You should be in first place in this mark-ass
division. By you
mean
the Texans.
Yeah, the Texans should be in first place in this mark-ass division with just teams that inspire zero confidence. I guess in Tennessee's defense, we'll see what happens tonight. There's actually a Wikipedia page for the Bills Titans rivalry. Part of it, I think, has to do with the Music City Miracle back in 1999.
Right.
But I think the other part of it is just because of the Bills and the Oilers being original AFL teams. What's noteworthy is that last year in week six, even in a game where Josh Allen did what he wanted, the Titans won. And it was a crazy game between these two last year. So I think a lot of people, because of the way Buffalo looked in week one, are assuming Buffalo's going to run away with it. And while I would love to see the Titans absolutely get stopped, for what it's worth, Buffalo's run defense is still, I think, something that you don't know much about. Last year, when they went up against teams that actually could run the ball, they looked bad. And the Rams aren't able to challenge that on Thursday. If Derrick Henry is still Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry might have a big game tonight. If Derrick Henry's not Derrick Henry anymore, then this could be a long one for Tennessee.
This is the best litmus test for the Titans because it's the Bills. And if you remember last year, take yourself back to why Mike Vrabel won Coach of the Year. Because during the regular season, the Titans were very, very good. In fact, they were predicted to do well and possibly even go to the Super Bowl. After what we've seen from the Colts and the Jags and the Texans,
Titans are already the front runners again.
Titans are the front runners. and it's so annoying because I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. You
no,
don't.
Does.
We are a Ryan Tannehill, an anti-Ryan Tannehill show. But like you said, if Derrick Henry can get it going and if their defense can be what it has been in the past or even a sliver of that, maybe they can hang with the Bills and make something happen.
I mean, Tannehill, his week one performances only, Tannehill was the best quarterback in the division in week one. He wasn't the reason that they lost that first game. Like, they just weren't really running the football particularly well. I'm curious as to what happens tonight. This Buffalo team is really, really good. And it's weird, too, that week two has two Monday Night Football games. You have also, I think, another intriguing
Eagles,
game
right?
with the Eagles and the Vikings tonight on ABC and ESPN+. Plus. So we'll see how that one plays. But, yeah, this is,
ESPN
once again.
Plus?
ESPN Plus and ABC, yes.
Oh, okay. So it is. I was going to say it.
I don't know how this is going to work because, yeah, I guess that the Titans and Bills is on ESPN and also ESPN2. So I'm guessing that they're going to have like an alternative broadcast as well. But which game is Manning?
Be.
Is the Manning cast going to be both games tonight?
No, no way. All right, so listen, let's just get it out of the way. There was an AFC South matchup that
there
happened.
There was, yeah.
It
was hilarious.
In Jacksonville.
The best thing that happened yesterday.
I don't know that hilarious would be the term. This, of course.
It definitely was hilarious.
Comes as the Colts had lost 7 straight games against the Jags in Jacksonville. I do believe there is a caveat because one of those games was in London. Regardless, they've lost 8 straight to the Jags now in Jacksonville. And this comes after owner Jim Irsay had called Matt Ryan a Navy SEAL type astronaut on the Pat McAfee show, said that he was going to be the biggest difference. This comes after Reggie Wayne had said, quote, Matt Ryan reminds me so much of Peyton Manning, it makes me want to vomit. What I saw from Matt Ryan, although
Rookie
it was
Peyton
not
Manning.
Even close to all his fault, did not match that, and this is the second week in a row the Colts have struggled tremendously.
This is rookie Peyton Manning when he had all the interceptions.
Yeah, all the, yeah.
But even then, at least people still like believed in him, where this Matt Ryan, I mean, you have 3 interceptions, and then you can't get anything going with Jonathan Taylor because you're finding yourself in that big hole as quickly as they were. Can you name the Colts' leading receiver yesterday?
I don't want to think about any of the Colts receiver situation. I don't want them to think about the fact that they paid Quentin Nelson all of that money and that the line is what it is.
A guard can only do so much, you know, just like with Davis Mills. You know, you can't put it all on Quentin Nelson. Their leading receiver is named Ashton Doolin, which sounds like an
just
Instagram influencer.
Thought.
Yes. Hi, it's me, Ashton. I wear a Carhartt hat. It's nice. Even if it's 90 degrees, I still wear the hat.
Do you go to brunch?
I went to brunch yesterday.
This was a painful thing to watch. And I think that if you are Frank Reich, you should be extremely nervous as you are in your 5th year as the Colts head coach.
On the Jaguars front, Christian Kirk's actually been good.
Yeah, worth all that money? Still TBD.
I mean, 12 catches for 195 yards and 2 touchdowns thus far. Considering he's clearly the number one guy, I mean, I'll give Jacksonville credit. Like, they bring him in, they spend a lot. He's 4th in the NFL in receiving yards, and he had a big game yesterday. I did not see it when they made that move, but just like we're dumping on the Colts, I think you do have to give the Jaguars a little bit of credit here. And Lawrence took a final step forward, which it's been taking some time to see that from him.
Lawrence definitely did. I have said from the beginning of the season and, well, you know, the offseason, that I think him having a competent coach in Doug Peterson, who not only has won a Super Bowl but has been able to work with quarterbacks in the past, I think you'll see not only the rookie to second year development for him, but you'll see an improvement from Trevor Lawrence, and I think we have. Now, is he going to be the golden child, pun intended, that everybody thought he would be? I don't know about that, but when you go from having, you know, you're a rookie and you have a coach in Urban Meyer, who's with Fox, by the way, now, who is getting grinded on at his own restaurant, who is hiring Tim Tebow.
That's normal behavior.
And problematic strength coaches and then literally kicking kickers. You're not going to be able to even have a normal rookie year. So for him to have somebody like Doug Peterson that could come in and work with him a little bit and try to make that work, I think will be good for Trevor.
Yeah, and I mean, this was a guy that's supposed to be once-in-a-generation kind of prospect, so at some point, he's going to actually show that on the field.
I don't know if he'll show all of it, but hopefully he can show more than we've seen. They do play the Chargers, followed by the Eagles, Texans, Colts, Giants, Broncos. So it's not exactly a murderer's row schedule for them. But when you look at where they were last year and where they are now, definitely seems like they've gotten a little better. And then, of course, how can we talk about the AFC South without once again touching on the Texans, Broncos? Just a quick recap, 16-9. Not liking what we saw there, but Lovie Smith will meet with the media today. The big question I have, not only is about Justin Britt. It is about Justin Britt. I don't know where I was going with that one. I had a Paul Gallant moment just now where I forgot what I was going to
say. We are, you know, we're out at the golf course. We're hanging out with the people. I think that Britt's done.
Yeah.
It just feels like that's the kind of decision with the games where he's, or excuse me, the days where he's missing practice. It just feels like it's all adding up to him eventually retiring. As far as, you know, what else you kind of want to figure out, it's going to be tricky to get the answers for the offense, I think, from Lovie Smith, especially when he does tend to play it coy when you get specific with him. Sometimes
right.
He gets a little chippy. But how much are they letting, I guess, Davis Mills be, I guess, a veteran? Are they like actually asking him to use the full playbook, or what's going on here? Is there perhaps a chance that this is coaching. And I think that's what the Mills Mafia folks out there right now are like holding on. Like, oh, it's the offensive line and it's the coaching. And it's literally everything around Davis Mills except for the guy who averaged 3.3 yards per attempt.
When you look at the offense as a whole, what do you want to see more of specifically from Pep Hamilton? Because Pep has a resume. We know what he's looked like with other teams, with other quarterbacks. What do you want to see more with Pep and Davis Mills?
I don't know what's possible with him. Like, I would just like him to throw passes to the sideline that aren't 10 yards above a receiver. I mean, these are the most important throws that you make. You're throwing it towards the sideline. You're generally going to have a very tight window to throw it in. Defensive backs are so quick. If you don't put the ball in the right spot, you put it too low, someone could get underneath it. They could take it all the way back for a touchdown. And is he capable of making those throws? He clearly doesn't feel comfortable attempting those throws. And if you're not comfortable making the attempt, then man, when are you ever going to be comfortable doing it? I know people are like bringing up that, oh, he hasn't played in that many games. He is a second-year quarterback that had a full offseason to be the guy. And what that you have seen from him makes you believe that there is more to be unlocked, that there is potential. What is it? The only thing that you can be saying to yourself is that, oh, he was a top recruit coming out of high school. Who cares at this point? It's the NFL, and you either are or you aren't. What, he's going to get like a massive window to, or a amount of time?
He may get
to
more
slowly
time,
figure it out.
But that's only because it's a rebuild. And
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Because this is where the Texans are. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk about some of our favorite stories from around the NFL, including a new schedule for Paul Gallant's Lord and Savior, plus a couple of interesting nuggets coming out of media availability for college football coaches today. More on that coming up.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Yes, I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. We are at the Wildcat Golf Club. Gorgeous day to hit some golf balls. Come out here, enjoy the bar, enjoy the food. We absolutely love it out here. And we absolutely love the NFL. We talked about some of the games earlier, but we're going to touch on some of the storylines we weren't able to get to. And we start with Paul Gallant's Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. The report has come out from NFL Network that Brady will take every Wednesday off for the rest of the season,
according to
NFL Network. You are nodding your head passionately. I think a lot of people see this and they say this is proof that this is Tom Brady's last year, that he is getting older. Maybe he does have marital issues. What say you?
I say they're 2-0. Tom Brady, does he need to show up every single day?
The answer has always been no for that.
It's weird that he's doing it, and I don't like that he's doing it, but is this somebody that you feel like is going to miss out by missing a practice? We see great players miss out on practice a lot. Remember, I'm not saying that I endorsed it, but it wasn't
D-Hop.
That long ago that DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney, they were missing practice after practice. It's a little different when we're talking about the quarterback, but I feel like with Tom Brady and this team, you know what you're doing. You know what you're getting. You know what kind of player he's going to be on Sunday. And while I definitely think the offense has left a little bit to be desired to this point, you did go up against the New Orleans Saints defense yesterday that typically has your number. This becomes a story if they lose.
Yep.
I have a hard time seeing them losing, especially that they finally got that monkey off of their back that the Saints have been. I think more interesting in this game is Tom Brady starting a fight. Because he was whining to the refs. A Saint player came over, started chirping to him. Brady got in his face. And Mike Evans just came out of nowhere and absolutely bundled him.
Some news on that, by the way. As of a minute ago, Adam Schefter says Mike Evans is suspended for a game for unnecessary roughness with Marshawn Lattimore. Evans was suspended one game for a previous fight with Lattimore in 2017. You think those two don't like each other?
I don't think they like
Portland,
each other.
Portland Finnegan and Andre Johnson would like a word, but I think these two are pretty much on the list of two guys that make it publicly known, which I actually, unpopular opinion, I like when guys are honest that they don't like each other. I think it makes it fun.
It was just shoving, but Evans did take it a little bit too far. It's funny that Brady started it. I mean, that is 100% Brady's fault that Mike Evans is not suspended
again. I feel like Brady will always give a wink and a nod to Mike Evans for that, though. Mike Evans showed that he's loyal to Brady. And look, Mike Evans, he'll fight. Maybe he would have done this even if it were a different quarterback. But if you're Brady, don't you like that he's willing to kind of go to war for you?
You like it, but at the same time, I think you're kind of pissed off that he's going to be missing the next game when he is your best wide receiver as of that suspension. What could the players for the University of Houston learn from this fight? Here's what. Don't fight your teammate.
Yeah. And that was a fight during a loss for the Cougs. At least the Bucks won.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, they're fighting. If you're going to get in a fight with somebody, fight the opposition. Don't fight someone on your team.
Looks bad.
If you're going to fight someone on your team, do it in the locker room. You know, wait until you're in the locker room for Bill O'Brien and Brock Osweiler to get in a shouting match or something like that in the office, which was rumored about a couple of years ago.
Monday Night Football tonight, baby. Per Tom Pelissero, the Titans are elevating wide receiver Josh Gordon from the practice squad for tonight's game against the Bills. Quote,
"Toke up.
Josh just needs opportunities to prove that he's still the incredible player and talent he's always been," said the agent, of course.
Oh, he goes as his agent. Okay. I mean, he had a chance to come back into the NFL when I was up in Seattle after he had a chance to come back with the Patriots, and I feel for him because he can't get out of his own way. The talent was still there 3 years ago at the very least. Maybe not to the same degree where he's running by everybody and burning them, but this is still a guy who, from a what you want in a wide receiver perspective, he's a massive body. So that's very interesting to see tonight. I'm curious as to how that'll work out for Tennessee, who obviously moved on from A.J. Brown this offseason.
I don't know how this doctor still has a job, but the same doctor that's overseeing Justin Herbert's injured rib is the one who's being sued by Tyrod Taylor after, if you remember, that punctured lung that he suffered in 2020. Don't the Chargers go a different direction after a team doctor punctured the lung?
Maybe they signed him to a contract that they can't buy him out of.
Lord.
I don't think the Chargers have a whole lot of money. I think the Spanos family is the low-key black sheep of NFL owners.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they did totally get screwed, too, because they moved to L.A. and the Rams moved to L.A. as well. And they're the team in L.A. that there really isn't much of buzz for at all. And, of course, now they're coming off of a week one where, you know, who knows what Justin Herbert's going to be the rest of the year after whatever he suffered in that game. But, yeah, I guess I'm not that surprised because dumb organizations do dumb things, and the Chargers have been a pretty dumb organization for the most part over their history.
Trey Lance out for the year per Field Yates. For each game that Jimmy G plays at least 25% of the snaps, he earns $250,000. If the 49ers win that game, the number jumps to $350,000. So he has a chance to earn $5.6 million of incentives. Good for Jimmy G. He stayed quiet. He minded his business. He was nice to Trey Lance, and now he gets rewarded.
He was even nice after the game. He was saying, like, well, obviously, you know, you don't want this to happen. I feel for Trey Lance. And I'm sure that they have a decent relationship. But there's also got to be a part of Jimmy Garoppolo that's like, yes.
It came around.
Yes.
Let's talk college football, shall we? Steve Sarkisian in media availability about 10 minutes ago said that all of his quarterbacks were able to practice today.
How?
I don't know, but that is Steve Sarkisian per Anwar Richardson, my brother, and the others.
Oh, yeah, Anwar Richardson, your guy. Yeah, that's surprising that Ewers could theoretically be back in a couple of weeks, and obviously the Oklahoma game's right around the corner. It took him a while to get going against UTSA, and I was only able to catch the highlights. We were at a place where there was only one TV on, and the Aggies wanted to watch Texas A&M versus Miami. But, hey, if he can get back out on the field for that Oklahoma game, I'm going to think even more of the guy that I saw in that first couple of quarters or quarter and a half or so against Alabama. Just absolutely light them up. He looked great in that game.
He did look really great, and he looked like there was some hope for the future. I thought Sarkisian after that game, by the way, was measured and optimistic but also realistic, and didn't. He's done himself some favors. We didn't know what to expect with him after some of the debacles that he's had.
Yeah.
But he, I think, has been good with the media. And, hey, I mean, one thing we know about him, he's not giving away too much about who will start at quarterback.
No, no.
And so this could be a complete and total farce, but he is doing his job.
It.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, too.
I just like it because people get so mad when they don't find out what the depth chart is. Remember, what was it, a couple of weeks
John
ago?
John McClain had about 12 tweets about the depth chart.
And he just used it as a means to, as a Baylor fan that was riding high on Baylor, what they've started off with, you know, coming out of last year in basketball doing well and in football doing well, where they come into this game and ultimately ultimately what they do is – I just had a brain fart myself.
That's okay.
You know what? Where are we?
We've gotten a lot of them. Let's give a little Cougs update. This is per James Mueller, a student reporter who does a great job at the Daily Cougar. Senior linebacker Malik Robinson is out for the season with a torn pectoral per Dana Holgorsen. This is a starting linebacker. This is probably a bigger deal than we're making it out to be. And after what we've seen from the Cougs, I think that we're hoping that none of that is the injuries do not continue for them, and that they're able to get it together more than they've had.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's been pretty underwhelming to this point, and it's not like Kansas is a particularly talented team. Who wants to go play in Lawrence, Kansas? Not at gunpoint.
Houston Cougars schedule, by the way. They have Rice this Saturday. That's always a fun game.
The Cougars, Bayou Bucket.
The Cougars, the JFK.
I don't know if it's going to be that fun of a game now if you're a Cougs.
Why does Texas play Rice for that one? In this case, it's why does UH play Rice. The Bayou Bucket is always fun. And then they play Tulane. Now, this is an interesting game because Tulane, led by my friend Laney Fritz's dad, Willie Fritz, has looked good this season. They've had some cojones on some plays, so this has the potential to be a tougher game. And then they play Memphis, Navy, South Florida, SMU. How you feeling about the Cougs?
Not good. Again, you lost to Kansas. Like, I guess elite football programs lose to Kansas. Programs that are back lose to Kansas. Someone was making that joke about how Texas. Oh, yeah, Texas. If you lose to Kansas, you know, like Texas does, then all right, maybe you're officially, you know, welcoming yourself into the Big 12. Awful. You can't lose to Kansas. I don't care if they're even good at the end of the year, and I know they're undefeated, but that was an embarrassing
loss. Wishing the best for Dana Holgorsen, and I am definitely wishing the best for Rice head coach Mike Bloomgren. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he has that program going in the right direction. Hey, and if you want to go to the game this Saturday, UH taking on Rice, the crosstown rivalry for the Bayou Bucket, call us right now. Caller number 3 gets a special ticket package for the game, a family 4-pack, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 chips, and 4 regular sodas for just $96. That is a steal. Go to uhcougars.com/promo and enter promo code RICE, the number 4, PACK, or call 713-GO-COUGS today and make sure you get your tickets. That is a steal. That is going to be a fun game. Give us a call. Get those tickets. We'll have more on Vanessa and Gallant coming up next.
Loaded and ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The magic number is 1 for the Houston Astros to clinch the AL West. They play the Tampa Bay Rays today. They can do that by beating the Rays, or I believe the Mariners losing this afternoon matchup that they play.
We will see.
We will see either way. Safe to say this team, I think, is poised for a deep playoff run. Nice to see.
Yordan was awesome on Friday. 3 home runs, and, you know, I needed that. I really did need that shot in the arm as we get closer and closer to the playoffs for the Astros. It is funny now, this story about whether or not his hands were hurt, if Dusty Baker knew which hand was hurt. It's very funny.
Do you think hashtag Handgate is over?
Yes.
Are we done with Handgate?
Yes. Do we even care anymore? No, the guy had 3 home runs. He had 2 doubles yesterday. I mean, he's hitting the bleep out of the ball. It's one thing if he was just, like, showing a pulse, but the last, like, 10 games or so, I mean, you're seeing doubles, you're seeing home runs. It's making up for lost time where there was a point where he wasn't that far away from Aaron Judge, who, of course, is running away with the home run number in all of baseball. He has been great. And, you know, you add in Framber Valdez continuing what he's been doing. That's at the very least the one bright side in this no longer a football town,
right,
that the baseball team is still who they are.
We know that 2 of the pro teams are in the process of rebuilding, right? So to have the Astros be so good to where it is written in the stars that they'll go to the playoffs and that the biggest topic of conversation is Yordan's hand is a blessing in disguise. Hey, how about Appalachian State? Once again, the Mountaineers won. They beat Troy with the 53-yard Hail Mary, and it sounded like this.
3-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
He got it.
It's a touchdown.
Miracle.
Miracle.
Miracle. Yes, sir!
Oh, my gosh!
Yes, sir! What a play!
Deflected back into the arms of Christian Horn. They storm the field. App State wins on Miracle on the Mountain Part 2.
So, you couldn't understand anything they said. The color commentator, by the way, is supposed to wait for the play-by-play man to finish the call.
Yes.
And then there's supposed to be some gnat sounds, and then the color commentator. Yeah, it's a little bit messy, but whatever.
It's not. That was very, very messy. They were excited, you know, give them a little bit of, I guess,
that's where you can tell that
flack.
It is an Appalachian State broadcast.
Yeah.
But
holy crap, that was a lot of loud noises. It was a crazy play. I mean, and they've been in a bunch of just absolutely insane games this year, obviously, that, you know, they took down Texas A&M in week 2, and then you win a game on a Hail Mary right after that. But that was, could you make out any of what was being said?
No, nothing. And that's like low-key, like that's where you need like a Todd Callis or a Kevin Eschenfeld or like a pro on the call that can actually tell you what's going on. Because I have no, there's no mention 53-yard Hail Mary, they've beat Troy, here's the score, Miracle Part 2. It's just.
There's two NFL broadcasts that you'll hear that on.
Okay.
Cincinnati's.
Yeah, I worked in Cincinnati.
And Miami.
Okay.
They have, like, they will not give anything any breathing room. They just,
right.
And they don't, like, take turns either going back and forth with their, I guess it would be verbal. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say
hey,
it.
Hey, shout out to the Las Vegas Aces, WNBA champions, the first WNBA championship for Las Vegas.
Hell yeah,
what's fascinating to me, first of all, shout out to Becky Hammon, head coach. A lot of people put her down when she took that job because she had been in the NBA. They said, you should stay in the NBA.
Yeah,
she's
going to take over for Pa.
I think I can win a WNBA championship. That actually could happen. She could make history, so I think that's exciting. To me, it brings up the question of all of these sports teams that you're seeing in Vegas, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Las Vegas, the hockey team. What's their hockey team?
Golden Knights.
How long until we have full
all Vegas?
All of them. All
well, yeah,
Vegas.
The A's are probably going
to
be there.
I mean,
soon.
Have to be, right?
It's crazy that
any
everyone was so
Vegas
against
it. Any team in Las Vegas is going to bring in a stupid amount of money.
You would
whether
think
they're
so.
Good or not.
You know what? I don't think baseball will, though. I think baseball's too boring.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think
for Vegas.
I don't think that people are going to go to Las Vegas to go watch the Las Vegas A's game. You know, unless they have some sort of crazy stadium, and I don't see where they're going to get the money for that. But it does seem like that is the expectation that the A's are going to be there at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This first disturbing story comes locally out of ABC 13 Harris County. An internal review is underway after a Harris County Sheriff's Office deputy got sick Wednesday morning. Sources told ABC 13 the deputy took drugs, which had been recovered at a crime scene.
Hell yeah.
Because he thought they were candy.
Yeah.
It happened at the Cypresswood substation in northwest Harris County. The drugs were colorful in nature and divided into clear plastic baggies and packed into a box. The deputy said he thought it was candy.
I mean, it might have looked like candy.
It might have. Do you eat candy you find at a drug bust? Probably not.
I don't know. I think maybe we need to, you know, ease up on this guy. What if it looked like, you know, some Sour Patch Kids?
Do you take Sour Patch Kids that you find at a drug
you
bust?
You should. If you know what, it's you're there and it's your crime scene, then you operate however you see fit.
Let's
That's
get
crazy.
Weird.
That's so funny.
Let's
this,
get weird.
Were they weed gummies or something, or were they...
The drugs were recovered Tuesday at an apartment in Spring Cypress. Around lunchtime, the resident called the sheriff's office for help when he thought someone had broken in. But a safety sweep yielded no intruder. Instead, deputies found large bags of marijuana and boxes of edibles.
Okay.
And mushrooms.
Ooh, he's eating some mushrooms, too.
So he knew
just
that
laughing
there were...
Up a storm.
That's my point, is he knew there were drugs on the scene, and then he sees candy and says, I should eat the candy, and then he gets sick.
It's in the bag. It's just... It's, you know, it's... It's lunch for the kids.
What are you doing?
Over the course of a week.
Also, you're supposed to eat donuts, not candy. That's not the... Shout out to all our men and women.
That's stereotyping.
This was just a bit much.
Well, cops can have candy, too. Come on.
All right. This next story comes out of Woburn. Where is Woburn? I don't know.
Woburn? Is this Massachusetts?
Sure.
Woburn?
It's a turkey takeover from one Woburn neighbor.
Oh, yeah, dude. Turkeys
the
in Massachusetts.
Pesky birds are pecking at cars, tires, and children. The attacks are happening near Nashua and Tremont Streets. Every neighbor has a story, and dozens of videos have been uploaded on the internet.
Turkeys in Massachusetts are aggressive bastards. They are everywhere. There was this place that I used to live with my dad after I graduated college. I was working at this grocery store, and every now and then, like, you would see three or four turkeys just walking around together like a gang out in the parking lot. And you'd have to sneak to your car so that they wouldn't see you because they do not care. They have no fear. It's weird considering, like, they're flightless.
And their teeth are scary.
Oh, everything about a turkey is scary. They're like little dinosaurs walking around.
Massachusetts Wildlife, by the way, says this type of aggression takes time and comes when people feed the animals or have bird feeders. So don't feed birds anymore,
Birds
guys.
Are terrible. There's not...
I had one attack my bun one time when I was running in college in Indianapolis.
A turkey?
It was not a turkey.
Goose?
It was a goose.
Ooh.
And I guess it thought the bun on my head was a nest.
Oh, no.
And it went straight for the bun. It was scary, and I've been terrified of them ever since.
How'd you get yourself out of that situation?
I just started screaming and
oh, you didn't kill the bird?
Okay. I didn't kill the bird.
You gotta grab it and
break
its neck. Whoa, it's got a big old neck like Davis Mills.
Aw, we love you, Davis.
Apparently, the Twitch broadcast, I look like I have Davis Mills' neck right now.
Right now?
Yeah, I guess they like photos.
Let me see it.
This is from a couple of people on the Twitch line. Apparently, my neck looks extremely long.
A top Chinese health official has warned locals against touching foreigners a day after China recorded its first monkeypox infection. I don't know what's up with monkeypox.
Don't touch foreigners.
But maybe you just shouldn't touch people you don't know in general. Let's just start there as the ground level.
But what if you just met?
And then
you like each other.
Not everybody touches people they just met, Paul.
What about handshakes?
Some of us don't.
Handshakes?
Some of us do.
Fist bumps?
You.
Handshakes, fist bumps? What's wrong with that? Are those out of bounds now?
No, I mean... It's
oh, now I get what you're saying. Wasn't there a time where people were trying to make, like, foot... you would bump feet with each other, like during COVID, early on in COVID?
Yeah, which the new handshake. All of that was just a bit much for me as well.
Seems like monkeypox doesn't come from handshakes
or fist bumps.
That's just me.
That's what we've heard as well. David Beckham waited in line with mourners to see the Queen
as the Queen is
laid to rest. By the way, right now, all of the major networks are broadcasting the Queen's funeral instead of the crisis in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
all
that
of that.
Sucks about people in Puerto Rico. Yeah. I love Puerto Rico.
Yeah, shout out to Puerto Rico.
Hurricanes
and those people
suck.
Have no, what is it, Hurricane Fiona? They have no water, yet we're focused on the Queen. I'm over it.
We've all been over it for a while. Yeah, it's nuts that this is still going on, too. I mean, hasn't it been like over a week?
Yeah, it's been like a week.
Didn't it happen the same game as like the day as the season opener between the Rams and the Bills? It's like a week and a half ago.
I know.
Get it over with.
Moment of silence. She's dead.
Hurry up.
R.I.P. A family member of the woman arrested for reportedly bringing a raccoon into a North Dakota City bar has created a GoFundMe page called Justice for Rocky and Help for a Family Member. Erin Christensen was arrested on suspicion of providing false information to law enforcement after she had been drinking and brought in a raccoon to Maddox Bar on September 6th.
It's very North Dakota.
Is it very North Dakota?
A pet
raccoon.
And her
shirt and the
oh, yeah, she
says
looks
Got Freedom.
Got Freedom? Well, not anymore. Man, why would you want to have a raccoon as a pet?
Christensen rescued Rocky, which was my late dog's name, by the way, 3 months ago. He was on the side of the road.
Rescued him? He didn't need to be rescued. He's
Correct.
A raccoon.
He is a wild animal.
You kidnapped the raccoon.
Can we also have people stop rescuing wild animals and then acting like they're not going to turn on them? I saw the story about a guy that has an emotional support alligator. You know what's going to happen when the animal instincts kick in? That guy's going to die.
Yeah, it's going to bite his leg off.
And then we're going to see all of these memorials for the poor guy that rescued.
You know,
stress me out.
That, you know, Chubbs Peterson, fantastic golfer. You know, his career was cut short by an alligator. His hand was bit off.
It'll always be weird that Steve Irwin died by a stingray instead of a gator.
Mm-hmm.
That one was weird.
No.
That one still messes me up. What doesn't mess me up? You got the Killer Bees coming up next at the Wildcat Golf Club on 97.5 and 92.5. Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next. Have
Peace.
A good one.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.